It's Monday, March 16th, and welcome to Higher IQ. Every year, about 4 million Americans leave a job and walk away from a retirement account without doing anything about it. Over the past decade, that's added up to 32 million forgotten 401k accounts holding more than $2 trillion. Most people know the basics. Your employer offers a plan, you contribute, you get a tax break. But almost nobody knows how the system got built, why it works the way it does, or what actually happens to your money when you leave. Today, we're going to explain all of it. The 401k is named after a subsection of the Internal Revenue Code. That alone should tell you it wasn't designed with regular people in mind. In 1978, Congress passed the Revenue Act, which included a small provision allowing employees to defer some compensation and avoid being taxed on it until later. The provision was intended to limit executives at large companies from gaming deferred compensation arrangements. For 2 years, nobody paid much attention to it. Then, on a Saturday afternoon in September 1980, a benefits consultant named Ted Benna was sitting in his office redesigning a retirement plan for a banking client. Benna was familiar with Section 401k of the tax code, but like everyone else, he'd never considered using it the way he was about to. He realized the provision could be interpreted to allow regular employees, not just executives, to set aside pre-tax income into a savings plan, with the employer matching a portion of the contribution. He pitched the idea to his banking client. The bank's attorney rejected it because it had never been done before. So Benna set up the first 401k plan for his own company, the Johnson Companies in Pennsylvania. "I knew it was going to be big," Benna later said, "but I was certainly not anticipating that it would be the primary way people would be accumulating money for retirement 30-plus years later." In 1981, the IRS issued rules allowing 401k contributions through payroll deductions, and the plans exploded. By 1983, nearly half of all large firms offered or were considering offering a 401k. By the mid-80s, employers realized something important. 401k plans were dramatically cheaper than traditional pensions. A pension, known as a defined benefit plan, guarantees a fixed payout for life. The employer bears the investment risk. A 401k shifts all of that risk to the employee. The employee picks the funds, the employee takes the market swings, and the employer's obligation ends at the match. For companies, this was an enormous cost reduction. For workers, it was a fundamental change in the deal. In 1979, 38% of private sector workers had a traditional pension. Today, that number is about 13%. The original 401k plan had two investment options. Today, the typical plan offers 19 funds. Benna himself has become one of the loudest critics of what he created, calling it a monster that has grown too complex for most people to navigate. "If I were starting over from scratch today with what we know, I'd blow up the existing structure and start over," he said in 2013. The irony is that the system most Americans rely on for retirement was never designed to serve that purpose. It was a tax provision for executive compensation that one consultant reinterpreted on a Saturday afternoon. The government actually tried to repeal Section 401k twice after realizing how much tax revenue it was losing. Both attempts failed, because by then the plans were too popular. And because the system wasn't designed for a workforce that switches jobs every few years, the mechanics of what happens when you leave are where most people get tripped up. There are currently about 80 million Americans with money in 401k plans, holding roughly $7-8 trillion in total assets. But an estimated 32 million of those accounts, containing about $2.1 trillion, are classified as forgotten. That number comes from Capitalize, a financial services firm, in partnership with the Center for Retirement Research. The average balance of a forgotten account is about $67,000. We should note that forgotten is a generous term. Some of those accounts were intentionally left at a former employer, but a significant portion are genuinely lost. The person switched jobs, moved, didn't update their address, and now has no idea the account exists. During the Great Resignation, 3.8 million accounts were left behind in 2021 and 4.4 million in 2022. The trend hasn't slowed. What happens to those accounts depends on the balance. If you leave a job and don't move your 401k, your former employer can hold it in their plan, but they'd rather not, because small dormant accounts create administrative costs. If your balance is under $1,000, many plans will simply cash you out and mail you a check, minus 20% for federal tax withholding. If it's between $1,000 and $7,000, your employer can force roll it into a safe harbor IRA, which sounds reasonable until you realize those accounts are typically invested in money market funds earning almost nothing. Your retirement savings effectively stop growing. If your balance is above $7,000, the plan has to keep it, but without updated contact information, the money can eventually be transferred to the state as unclaimed property. The Department of Labor launched a retirement savings lost and found database in late 2024 to help people find these accounts. You can search using your Social Security number. It's still being built out, but nearly 30% of people who've searched have found an account they didn't know about. The smarter move when you leave a job is to roll the 401k into an IRA before any of that happens. When you roll a traditional 401k into a traditional IRA, there's no tax event. The money moves tax deferred. Inside that IRA, you can buy and sell stocks, bonds, index funds, whatever you want, and you don't owe capital gains taxes on any of the trades. You only pay taxes when you eventually withdraw the money in retirement. That's a meaningful advantage for someone who wants more control over their investments. The problem is that every 401k provider has its own rollover process. There's no standard, and the friction is deliberate. Some require notarized forms, some take weeks. The complexity is one of the main reasons people don't do it, Taya, and it's why the forgotten account number keeps growing. The tax benefit of contributing while you're employed is real, but often misunderstood. When you contribute to a traditional 401k, that money comes out of your paycheck before income taxes are calculated. If you earn $75,000 and contribute $10,000, you're taxed as if you earned $65,000. That's a meaningful reduction in your taxable income for the year. The employer match, if your company offers one, is free money with a guaranteed return, and not contributing enough to capture the full match is the single most common mistake people make with their 401k. But maxing out, which in 2026 means contributing $23,500, is a different question entirely. For someone in their late 20s or early 30s trying to save for a down payment, locking money in an account you can't easily access creates a real tension. Which brings up the question we hear a lot: can you use your 401k to buy a house? You can, but the system makes it expensive. The cleanest option is a 401k loan. Most plans let you borrow up to 50% of your vested balance, capped at $50,000, and you repay yourself through payroll deductions over 5 years. No tax penalty as long as you repay on time. The risk is that if you leave your job before the loan is repaid, the remaining balance gets treated as a taxable distribution, meaning you owe income tax, plus a 10% early withdrawal penalty if you're under 59 and a half. One distinction that trips people up, the $10,000 first-time homebuyer exception that lets you withdraw penalty-free applies to IRAs, not 401ks. That limit was set in 1997 and has never been adjusted for inflation. In today's dollars, it's worth roughly half what it was when the rule was written. So, next time someone tells you to max out your 401k, here's the context they're leaving out. The system was invented by accident in 1980 when a benefits consultant found a creative interpretation of a tax provision meant for executives. It was never designed to be America's primary retirement vehicle, and its own inventor calls it a monster. There are 32 million forgotten accounts holding over $2 trillion, and if your balance was under $7,000 when you left, your old employer may have dumped it into a safe harbor IRA, earning almost nothing. If you've switched jobs, search the Department of Labor's Lost and Found database. If you're staying put, contribute at least enough to capture the full employer match. And if you're trying to buy a house, know that 401k loans are possible, but come with job change risk, and the first-time homebuyer penalty exception applies to IRAs, not 401ks. The system works, but only if you understand the rules it was never designed to have. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.